The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Lila and David Sears are a married couple who are not licensed therapists. The following opinions are their own and should not be taken as medical or psychological counseling advice. Relationships today face more challenges than at many times in recent history. Join married couple Lila and David Sears as they navigate the world of relationships in Empathy Ever After.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Empathy Ever After. I'm David Sears with my lovely and talented wife, Lila Sears.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to have a meat pants day. So
a little easy fit,
little relaxed fit, little easier on the old
noggins.
Nerves.
Yeah, because last week we talked about politics and relationships, and it stressed us both out. And
Dr. Paul Linsky of the Dr. Paul Linsky Red Flag Green Flag said Lila sounded like she needed a drink after we talked about it. So this week's episode, a lot more fun of a topic.
Yeah.
A topic that everyone wants to go on. That's vacation.
Yeah. And I love vacations. Dalton wants to take part in this. One of our cats, Dalton, got anything to say, son? There he's,
he wants attention.
Yeah. Well,
last week was Kofi. This week
it's going to be Dalton. Old helpful Dalton. We thought we'd talk about vacations this week. There's lots of different, things to talk about when it comes to vacations, whether that's planning or actually taking vacations, getting back from vacation. But
how you have like 30,000 pounds of laundry after vacation.
Of course. And you know what? You can actually do laundry while you're on vacation.
Not at Disney World.
You can. You can. There are laundry facilities at Walt Disney World. In many of the Walt Disney World Disney Vacation Club villas, in fact, all the one bedroom and above, you can they come with in-unit washer and dryer.
Why don't we do that?
Because we've never been in the Disney Vacation Club one bedroom and above villas.
True. But like we said, there's a lot you can talk about with vacations. Now, number one, one of the most important parts of a vacation is it should be relaxing for you, but yeah, that's not always the case.
No. And of course that's one of the goals. I mean, there's lots of different goals that you can have when you're going on vacation. And that should be something that you talk about early on in a relationship is, what are your goals when you take a trip? So, I know, and we've traveled together, of course, for, you know, 18 years now. So what are some of the goals that you have? And I know where you want to go when you go on vacation. David's main place, his only place, and he really wants to go on vacation is Walt Disney World.
Yes.
That is really where David wants to go when he goes on vacation. So I know that David's goal when he goes on vacation is escape from stress, turn the brain off, become a child again for a week.
Yes.
And that is a vacation to David. And that's great. But that's not everyone's idea of a perfect vacation.
Exactly. Now, Lila is very much a beach and mountains person. She likes to go to new cities, explore new things. I kind of just want to go where I know I'm going to be treated well, and I'm going to have the same experience with maybe a new ride or a new festival going on. But for the most part, we give and take on that. And it's been tough with the budgets of late. So mainly I think our last big vacation was to the mountains for our anniversary in 2021. So
yeah.
We went there to Gatlinburg and had a great time.
Yeah, we do the mountains. We do Disney World and we do mountains. David is not a beach person.
I hate the beach. David had a bad experience.
I think we can tell that story.
Fifth grade, the gifted program at Reedy Creek Elementary, and some of the top tier students get to go on a special trip. And they chose Sea Camp. So we took one of those really nice luxury buses from Kissimmee, Florida, down to the Keys. We have a great time at sea camp, everything. And then I think the second to last day of sea camp, we're snorkeling and a little reef in the Keys. And I start burning from the waist up around my throat, everything just burning. And I'm screaming. My mom thinks it's a shark attack because all she could think of was the child in Jaws. All the other kids are starting to swim away from me. My mom's just like, swim to the boat, swim to the boat. So I swim to the boat, I get up there, and I've just got welts all over my body. I apparently got tangled up in some Portuguese man of war tendrils that can become detached from the Portuguese man of war and float for miles, and they're still just as venomous. And I got just absolutely tore up by them. I was very fortunate that I'd taken my Benadryl that morning because I'm a kid who has
terrible allergies.
And they said the Benadryl helped make it not as bad as it could be. But I got to ride on a speedboat like I was in Miami Vice. They put me on an emergency boat, drove me straight to the showers, and they put me in as hot as I could take it to open up my pores to get the venom out. And
so, you know,
I've kind of been spoiled on the beach ever since.
He's you know, grew up a Florida boy, going to the beach and everything. But after that, David does not do water. David doesn't want to get in the ocean. He doesn't want to get in water. He doesn't want to get in a lake. He doesn't want to get in a pool. He doesn't want to get in any kind of water at all.
Nope. I'll shower. That's it.
David doesn't even want to get in a tub. He's just like, no water. There might be a Portuguese man of war in it.
Or if it's Florida. If it's freshwater, there may be an alligator.
Yeah, that's how you tell. That's how you tell if there might be a shark or an alligator in it in Florida. You take a little bit of the tiny bit of the water. You taste it. If it tastes salty, there's sharks in it. If it doesn't taste salty, there's alligators in it.
Exactly.
If it tastes like chlorine, there's tourists in it.
And there could be alligators because they like to get in the pool sometime.
That's true.
So anyway, but so we try to do that. Compromise on that, where we go for vacations. We'll just go to Atlanta for a weekend getaway.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've gone to Nashville. But we just mainly just kind of chill. One time we just went to Mississippi.
Well, we just had a little, it was our anniversary, and there's a restaurant in Tupelo that we wanted to go to and
so get, we just
a,
went to get us a
steak. Yeah.
It was a delicious steak.
Yeah. We got some good steak. But going back, there's different goals that you can have, for vacation. So there's becoming a kid again, which is what you like to do. There's turning off your brain, which is what I like to do. I like to turn off my brain and become a big tub of goo on a vacation. That's one reason I like cruises. David's never been on a cruise. I've been on a few cruises with my parents. And cruises to me are kind of an ultimate vacation because you don't have to make any decisions. You don't have to do anything. You're just floating at sea and you just, it is the most relaxed I think I've ever been.
Until it's New Year's Eve and there's a big storm and the Poseidon comes and flips over.
That's why you don't go where those kinds of things happen. You float around in the Caribbean and it's nice and it's calm. It's peaceful. And it's just chill. It's just ultimate chill. You can also have other goals other than just turn off your brain. Lots of people like exploring new places. Mm-hmm. Some people go with more of an intention toward wellness. Some people like wellness retreats where they can do yoga.
They can go in a dark cave with Aaron Rodgers for a couple of days.
No, thank you. That sounds terrible. Some people do those silent retreats. I think that sounds like ultimate torture to you.
I would want to talk.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Shut up.
You're not supposed to talk. This is a silent retreat. Yeah. Some people enjoy active adventures. You know, they enjoy hiking, biking, mountain climbing, whatever. That's not so much us.
No.
but, We're a little more sedentary than that. But it, you know, a lot of people enjoy that. Some people, though, enjoy reconnection and romance.
Yes.
You know, and you can do that on any of those types of other vacations. You can you can reconnect in whatever way. I feel like we have huge reconnection when we do go to Disney World. Yeah. Like our 10th anniversary trip
was a lot of fun.
Was a Wrestleversary was a huge way. We went to WrestleMania and we went to Walt Disney World and
just had a good time.
We did. And when we got back from that vacation, I remember my first day back at work, I got about halfway through the day and I thought, I miss David.
And then it's a lot easier though for us because we don't have kids. It's hard to reconnect when you do have kids along on a trip because you have to worry about the kids. You have to make sure the kids' needs are taken care of, especially if you're at a beach or at a pool. You have to worry, are they,
oh, sure.
You have other stresses added to that. So it's really difficult to reconnect and get the romance fired up again. If you're doing a trip with kids, it's a lot easier when it's one-on-one.
Oh yeah. But
I think kids add a whole different level of stress to the vacation. Especially if you're in a hotel room, you know, yeah. You don't have two separate rooms. If you're all in there, well, the kids got to go to bed at 8 and the parents, well, we can't just leave them alone in the room and we can't really do anything. So we just kind of just sit there quietly and read.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we've never traveled with kids. So, you know, and if you want to interact with us on social media, let us know what some of your trips have been like with kids. You know, you can always hit us up on our socials, which will be available at the end of the shows. But I definitely think that traveling with kids adds a lot more physical and mental toll to a vacation, though. A vacation can be a very stressful thing. We would like to take vacations to get away from stress, but sometimes vacations can produce more stress than they alleviate.
Yes. And sometimes you have issues with health. I remember three of our Disney trips have ended with one of us injured in some sort or fashion. Yeah. Our honeymoon, you sprained your ankle. One trip, I want to say 2010, I broke my foot because I stepped off a curb the wrong way and I ended up having to wear a boot for 2 months afterwards. And then I was so out of shape and for the Wrestleversary, I developed
cellulitis
and had to go on antibiotics and we had to cut the trip short because I just felt absolutely miserable and it hurt to walk.
Well, cellulitis is very painful.
Yeah. So those things kind of happen on trips. When my parents and I, with my sister Melinda, we went down to the Keys one time and I started throwing up uncontrollably. We didn't know what it was. I feel fine. Blech. So they thought I was faking it. We get back. Oh, he has tonsillitis.
That's great.
Yeah. I ended up getting my tonsils removed shortly after that. So,
yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we used to take these long, like 2 week, trips with my great uncle. He was sort of he was like my other grandfather. I only had my one grandfather growing up but he was sort of my surrogate grandfather, is my granny's brother. And he would have his Navy reunions and we would go with him. My mom and I would go with him after his wife passed away. His reunions would be out west a lot of times, because a lot of his buddies lived in the Southwest in the Sun Belt, and so we would travel with him, and we'd take these long trips, and we went to a lot of the national parks, and so I developed my love of the national park system, and but one of those trips I got really sick, and I remember, you know, like on the way back, like just being so miserable. And I know that when you, you know, when you get sick on a trip, it just, it makes you so miserable. And like, you don't want to make the other people on your trip miserable. But like when you're a kid, you can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like so focused on how bad you feel, or you have a fever and you kind of can't even tell how bad you feel.
Your little hallucinations.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember feeling like so completely out of it and, you know, just terrible in all the ways. I think that, before you get into the traveling kind of phase of a relationship with somebody, those goals for a vacation need to be something that you talk about. And like, well, where do you like to go? What kind of things do you like to do on vacation? Do you enjoy just chilling? Do you enjoy doing more active kind of vacations? And, you know, trying to hash those things out before you go anywhere, and taking short trips. Maybe first.
I think our first trip together, we were going to Atlanta. I was working at Baumhauer's in Hoover at the Patton Creek, and we got tickets, really good tickets for the Braves Phillies. The game, of course, gets rained out the one day I have. So we just kind of went to underground Atlanta for a little bit and just played around there, and then went back to the hotel room and just talked. I think we ended up talking most of that trip because the weather in Atlanta was just so rainy, and we were just riding around in your little RAV4.
Yeah.
Just talking around and just going back and having a good time, getting to know each other better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We'd already been engaged at that point, because it was like, I want to say it was an August trip that we were going to go, because it wasn't football season yet.
Yeah, probably. But we definitely, though, of course, the first really big trip, though, that we did, of course, was our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first, you know, that was our first flight together and that kind of thing. I think that anytime you fly together, that can add a layer of stress, because of, you know, getting through TSA and that kind of stuff.
Especially if you're a tall person, it's one of those little short jets they take on there and your head hits the top of the jet.
Not familiar with that problem. I know.
But I couldn't even stand up straight in our plane. It was just one of those little straight shots from Birmingham to Orlando as a smaller plane.
I don't even remember that, because it's irrelevant to me what size plane we're on.
You're tiny.
Yeah, the size of a plane just does not matter to me. I am travel size. I am travel size. I am a pocket version. I can fit wherever in a vehicle or, you know, a plane. I also pack pretty well.
Yeah.
If we're going to fly, you tend to get the things together that you are going to take, and then I pack.
I'm a
Tetris wizard. I tend to pack the things because I pack very well. If we're going to drive and it doesn't matter so much, then you pack your own, your own bags, and take the bags that I don't enjoy taking and all that kind of stuff.
But I mean, that's another thing you have to worry about, especially now with all the ridiculous fees for flying, where you have a weight limit for your, luggage, you have limited carry-ons and all that stuff. So those are things you have to plan out in advance. Definitely check out what your airline allows and doesn't allow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All those things have to be, you need to plan, especially if you are going somewhere new in particular, or if you're flying, definitely, you know, I mean, obviously check out any type of restrictions or whatever beforehand, or new policies or that kind of thing, because things do change from time to time with airlines and restrictions and cruise lines and, you know, different resorts you might have stayed at in the past and things like that. even Disney World rules change from time to time. We see crazy things happen at Disney World sometimes. I've seen crazy things happen on cruise ships sometimes. So it's, you know,
seems like people are fighting more at Disney World and cruise ships now than ever before.
Yeah, I know. And that's that bothers me a lot because I want everybody to be that just, hey, man,
it's chill.
We're all here to have a good time.
Yep.
We're all here for the same reason. You know, we're just on vacation. Everybody calm down. Be cool.
Be the fun.
Be the Fonz.
Exactamundo.
Let's talk a little bit about though the mental load of vacations, because that goes back to, do you work with a travel agent or is one partner doing all the planning, or are you both working on planning a vacation together?
And do you have different stresses to come with that? Travel agent, you may have not communicated what you want clearly with the travel agent, so they may have left something out that you really wanted to do. If you put all the pressure on one of the partners to do all of the planning, that can be stressful because they feel that not only do they not want to let the other partner down, but they don't want to leave anything off that they want to do, and they want to make sure everyone's comfortable and everyone's happy, and that could be a stress unto its own.
Yeah. And like, I love planning a vacation. I absolutely love it. I think if that would have been one of the careers that I totally could have gone for, would have been travel agent. I love planning trips, whether I'm going to actually take them or not. but I do love, planning, you know, an itinerary or, you know, whatever. But even if you enjoy it, it is mental work. So, you know, you do have to take that into consideration when, you know, you also want to be sure that you're not putting undue pressure on your partner, even if they enjoy that, you know, planning and that kind of stuff. You want to be sure that you're not, you know, building it up. So it's like, oh, well, you know, she really loves, you know, planning these vacations and stuff, and it's always so perfect when she does all, you know, you're building up expectations that maybe is a bit much.
Yeah. And when one partner has all of that, the other partner may be unaware of how much everything's costing. And then when they see the cost, like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean it costs $20,000?
You know? Whoa. Oh, yeah.
But I'm just saying, but what do you mean it costs $1,500 for this vacation?
Yeah.
We only had this much budgeted for it and you went over that. And that can be problematic, especially if you're trying to maximize your dollars.
Yeah. And that's another thing is budgeting a vacation. When you're talking about going on vacation, what are your budgetary constraints, or what are your expectations? What are the goals that you have in mind when it comes to a budget for a vacation? What are your budgetary expectations? That's going to be different for everybody. Some people grew up going on some people don't grow up going on vacations. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't travel when they're growing up. And whether that's through opportunity or their families just don't travel. And then some people grow up going on pretty lavish vacations. And then maybe they get to adulthood and then they can't afford those same kind of vacations. So, you know, that's something that you have to learn. And then you have to talk about with your partner about, okay, what's our actual budget here?
Cause I remember there were some vacations we took where we pre-packed everything. We had our own sandwiches in the cooler. We had drinks in the cooler. The only time we stopped was for gas. And you didn't get Cokes or anything at the gas station because we had them in the car. And I know some families budget that way. And then there were some vacations where we were like, you know what? You're hungry. Let's stop at McDonald's. All right. You want to get something to drink? Let's stop at the gas station. Everybody grab a Coke. oh, you want these comics? Yeah, grab those comics too, you know? So mm-hmm. it just depended on what the budget is at the situation. I also think that when you're putting together the budget, you need to always have an emergency because you never know what's going to happen. You may have to run to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Your clothes may get ruined. You know, you need to have a little extra cash set aside just for emergencies.
Or, you know, travel insurance is always a good way to be sure that you have a little coverage there. Travel insurance is a great way to, you know, if your flight gets canceled or, you know, something major happens. Or if
Microsoft happens to just push out an update, shut down the world.
CrowdStrike, you know, just shuts down all of the major airlines, whatever may happen that, you know, you definitely, can take advantage of some different plans like that, though. Budgeting, though, is something that you have to plan beforehand, though. That's what a budget is, right, though? Is it's a plan beforehand. It's not something to be done while you're on vacation or after you come back from vacation, right? You get a bill that you go, whoa, I have at the end of a cruise seen, like, the tally of, like, I know you haven't been on a cruise. And if you haven't been on a cruise, sure, a lot of things are prepaid when you go on a cruise. So, like, you know, you your room and your main dining room and a lot of your dining is in a lot of some of your shore excursions and stuff may be prepaid before you go. But anything that you like swipe your room key for, like you may have paid for a drink package up front, but if you didn't and you're swiping your room key for every drink that you buy on your cruise, and then maybe you have specialty restaurants that you go on a cruise, and then maybe you're buying different merchandise on your cruise. It's a cashless system. So you're not actually spending cash and you're not pulling out a credit card. It's just all on your room key. So at the end of the cruise, you get this statement of how much you owe that's just going to all go onto your credit card that you've given them. So you get this big bill for your entire room at the end of
Is this from personal experience?
I mean, maybe. It may have been my college graduation trip or something. Again, I wasn't paying for it, but that was my parents' gift.
A gift it was.
And what a gift it was. But, you know, to get to the end of it and be like, oh, well, you know, sure, we had this many bottles of wine and we had this many rum drinks and we had this, you know, it adds up.
It does. So that is another thing you have to really focus on is the budget of your cruise and knowing what you're going to spend ahead of time and beginning
or any vacation.
But sometimes when you're on these vacations, unexpected things happen and you have to be flexible with it.
You have
to adjust. We've been fortunate that we've been in Disney during the off season of hurricanes.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes if you go down from July to October, you could get a hurricane hit there.
Oh yeah.
And they shut down the park to make sure everyone's safe. Don't want to put anything.
Hurricane sweeps across Florida and you get flooding conditions and they have to close the parks down for a day or two.
I know, the wildfires in Gatlinburg struck during peak fall vacation one year because it was a dry fall and everyone wants to go see the leaves change, but they're all on fire.
Yeah. Oh, they go to see the fiery colors. Whoops. And the smoky mountains. Whoops.
Or like Lila and I've said, we've been sick on unexpectedly get injured. You have to be flexible. Sometimes there are more people than you expect to be at the spot. So it's a little slower going to get everywhere you want to go.
We've definitely run into that before, like in the mountains.
We went post-COVID 2021. It was our anniversary and it was really
It was a lot more crowded than I thought it would be.
Because everyone was out and about finally getting to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And I remember we went and it was an unexpected wait, like all the restaurants, and Gatlinburg's already pretty crowded in the spring, but this was, everything was more packed than usual. Even when we went in to the Ben and Jerry shop just to get some ice cream, that took 15 minutes to get ice cream at a Ben and Jerry shop.
Yeah.
So just be prepared, because sometimes you'll be going and the crowd size will be down. Sometimes you'll go and the crowd size will be more than you expected. So you just got to be flexible with what you got there. And you have to take it and not let it ruin your vacation, because some people just get, we will have fun, damn it.
That's always so disheartening for other travelers to see, because like it always upsets me to see somebody who's taking their vacation way too seriously, like who is putting pressure on the rest of their family to have a good time. Like, oh, well, I paid this amount of money for this vacation and you guys are going to suck it up and have a good time. And, you know, kids or whatever are not always going to feel great. Maybe they just need a nap. Maybe they just need a glass of milk and a nap, and they'll be fine later. Just chill, man.
And you see that, especially at Disney World.
You see it at theme parks so much, and it's very disheartening. The kids cannot go physically the way that adults can in a theme park. They can't hold up to it. And you talk about, I wish I had the energy of a kid. Kids get that energy in like spurts though, and then they need a nap. Yeah.
And that's something that you really want to consider on these vacations.
And we take naps when we're at Disney World sometimes too. Go back to if it's hot, especially like
Epcot day, we're soaked to the bone. We go back.
It rains every time we go to Epcot.
We go back, change into clothes, change into dry clothes, get a nap, change into dry clothes and tackle the rest of the day there. So I think you have to be flexible with that, because you never know what's going to happen on a vacation. You never know what may unfortunately happen. You may roll an ankle and not be able to walk everywhere. You may catch a food poisoning. One time when we were testing a hotel at Disney, I got a real bad case of food poisoning, and All-Star Sports. Woo, that was rough.
That was when he was a kid. Not
what I was in.
Yeah.
But I think it was either the Nixon funeral or the Reagan funeral. I forget which funeral it was, because they were showing that on TV.
I have no idea.
I had apparently some bad meatballs, because I had spaghetti that night from the cafeteria, and oh boy. And it was rough, but my parents handled it like a pro. They took care of my sister, kept her happy. Well, mom and dad rotated with me, helping me get to the toilet and back, and helping me get to the bed and back.
Well, and I just think that travel is largely an exercise in flexibility, because, you know, unexpected things happen at every turn, whether you have an itinerary or not, which I like to travel with a kind of a flexible itinerary. I mean, yeah, I like to have an idea of like, and I'm one of those people who likes to plan where we're going to eat. I'm a big food person. I want to plan where
you're not a big food person. You're a little food person.
Well, I'm a medium food person. I like to plan where we're going to eat. Especially if we were going to go to the beach or something, like if we were going to go down to the beach where I grew up, going to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, if we were going to go down there, I would have a list of places where I would want to take you to go eat. Right. So that would be a thing that I would be like, OK, well, we're going to eat. I want to eat here one night. I want to eat here one night. I want to eat here one night. And I'm that way. And I'm that way when we go to Disney, and I'm that way when we go to the mountains. I want to plan where we're going to eat. Right.
Yeah.
I may or may not have a spreadsheet on my computer at work of like of like Disney prices of the hotels and like a running budget of, you know, where to eat and that kind of thing. And, you know, of like maybe next trip ideas kind of stuff. I forgot where I was going with that because I got really excited about food.
You were talking about budgeting and flexibility.
I was talking about flexibility, I think. But I think that it's, I do think that it's important, even if you have things that you want to do, that you don't get so locked in to, well, we have to do this on this day. Otherwise, we're not going to get to do everything that we want to do. Because it's, you know, you gotta take the stress off of yourself sometimes. Sometimes it's an unforced error.
It is. And you want to have the perfect vacation, have the perfect pictures. If you're on the beach, everyone wants to wear some denim and the white shirts for the beach photos and all of that stuff. So I think people have different expectations. That goes back to your expectations for the vacation. Mm-hmm. And I think some people really do just want to get away. And some people are very much, we have to have everything planned down to the littlest detail. And yeah. It's a little crazy.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people who wants to have stuff planned down to the littlest detail, because I also want to just do what I want to do in the moment on a vacation, whether that's rest. Like, I would like to be able to sleep in if I want to sleep in on vacation, or if I want to get up early, if I wake up early, then that's great too. I don't know. If I have to think too hard about it, if I have to work at my vacation to get everything done, then I'm not vacationed.
Mm. No, that makes sense 100%, because a vacation ultimately is supposed to relax you, let you get away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and let you just finally get a chance to turn yourself off, turn your brain off.
Yeah, I do think that one thing that we can advise against would be participating in timeshare presentations.
Yeah, you never, no matter what, hey, you get $500 if you go to this timeshare.
No, because it's not $500. It's $100.
Oh, it was $100?
It was $100. And you're like, yeah, let's do that. And I was like, we're going to waste a nice chunk of this weekend. And you're like,
but there was a free pasta. No, it wasn't. It was bad pasta. Wasn't even good.
I didn't eat it. You did.
So timeshares, if you're in the mountains or at the beach, or, and I think Disney does it with the Disney Vacation Club. They have a timeshare presentation.
They do. It's probably better, but I'm probably giving them credit where I don't have any experience there. But
timeshares are there, and they're difficult to get out of.
Yeah, it's a hard sell. It's a hard sell.
And if you do sign up for one, you're stuck with them for a while, and that can be financially draining. So,
Be sure you only do that if you're in a financial position to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't do the timeshare presentation if you know you don't have an actual interest in purchasing a timeshare.
I thought we did, because I like going to the mountains. Like, we can get us a place. We can come to the mountains whenever you want.
And I knew better than that.
I didn't.
And I could have told you.
We got $100.
You didn't listen to me.
We got $100.
And we wasted a nice chunk of the weekend.
But we got $100.
David.
Just saying.
You are saying that was a very long time ago. I'm not bitter.
It was either our first or second trip.
Not bitter about it at all. It was our first trip to the mountains. Not bitter about it at all. But that was kind of when you decided that you were like, oh, I could go to other places besides Disney World.
Yeah. Because they have putt-putt.
They do have putt-putt. That was something that we discovered, though, that we enjoyed doing together, that we didn't know that we would like doing together, that has become a vacation thing for us now. So whenever we go on vacation now, we find a putt-putt course. We challenge each other to putt-putt. And David's undefeated while wearing contact lenses.
Yep.
If he's wearing his glasses, however.
You've won.
I do pretty well. But contact lens, David.
It's focused.
Is focus. Yeah.
It's, but I mean, yeah, you never know. And then we found some cool little diner where we went down to Daytona Beach for a wrestling fighter fest for AEW. Yeah. We found some really cool little places off the main drag of Daytona. We found some just a mom and pop's diner that was really good, had ginormous pancakes and omelets. Mm-hmm. And that's something else when you're going to vacations. Don't always stay with the touristy stuff. Find out where the locals eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Find out what, like, stuff that the locals do, where the locals eat, where the locals shop.
Because we went to a nice seafood restaurant our first night there. We had that mom and pop breakfast the morning of the show. Mm-hmm. Putt-putt the afternoon of the show. And then it's just, there's so much fun and so much stuff you can do that isn't big touristy stuff.
Yeah. We haven't talked about international travel because we're not international.
I've only been to Dubai and Riyadh. That's the extent of my
I've only done some cruises and stuff. So we're not gonna talk about that really. But I do think that from everything that I've ever heard, it's great to get advice from locals on where to eat and the things to do rather than just sticking to the tourist stuff. Well, the tourist stuff is great. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why everybody does certain things in the most visited places in the world. Then it's also probably great if you can ask locals, oh, well, this is probably a more actually authentic kind of food or experience or whatever than, you know, doing the tourist
thing. And if you do the tourist thing, make sure you pay attention because it could be a life-saving tip. Just like the girl who learned at Gatorland, if you shove fingers up a crocodile's nose or an alligator's nose, they'll make their jaws open and it released the girl's leg so she was able to get away from an alligator.
Wait, now what?
Do you not see this story?
No.
I sent it to you. Florida girl went to Gatorland for a class field trip. And she learned from them talking that if you ever get attacked by an alligator, take your fingers and shove in their nostrils. They won't be able to breathe. So they'll open up their mouth. Uh-huh. And she was able to get her leg out and she was able to escape from the alligator is what she learned at Gatorland.
Well, so
Florida girl and gator.
All right. Tips from Florida man, David Sears. If you're ever caught in the jaws of an alligator, block their nasal passages
and they'll release your leg or arm
or whatever they have in their mouth. That's utterly terrifying.
It's Florida.
Well,
the Australia of America.
The Australia of America. Yes.
Australia is the Florida of the world.
Yes. Yes. For certain. So we've talked some about the mental load of vacations and budgeting and planning and goals and being flexible on vacations and that kind of thing. You want to do a little red flag, green flag?
The Dr. Linsky red flag, green flag presentation. Dr. Linsky is a cardiothoracic surgeon. The services of Dr. Linsky are not greater than or equal to.
No, any art. Other.
What? What is it?
It's No, I don't know. I did know and now I don't.
Yeah, that's why you should have let me just keep going. Anyway, Dr. Linsky for your cardiothoracic needs in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. Yes. So I'm going to give you this is a segment that we do where one of us gives a red flag related to a topic. And then we have a correlated green flag on said topic. OK, so here is a potential red flag related to travel. Okay. Red flag when talking about probably going to certain places. A red flag could be, why would anybody want to go there?
And if you say that, you may be insulting someone, and your partner, that place is a very special place to your partner. And you may not want to go there, but there's a nicer way of saying it. It would be like, so, you know, I've never considered that. What do you like about that? What appeals to you about that location? Mm-hmm. And you may find, well, that was a childhood spot my family would go to, and mm-hmm. we used to have great memories there, and I want to make those memories with you.
Yeah, it could be as simple as that, or you know, there could be other things that you know, that you have not considered. Maybe you haven't thought about everything there is to do in a place. So yeah. All right, so another red flag. Once you've gotten to your vacation destination, hey, did you pack my whatever item?
All right, this is something you need to do, and we call it a checklist. It's something you write everything you will possibly need, and you physically check it off that you have it.
Yes.
And it's also the same when you leave a place, you do the idiot check to make sure you haven't left anything behind. You
check for idiots in your hotel room.
You want to make a list. It sounds nerdy. It is nerdy, but it's efficient, and it makes sure you don't leave stuff behind, especially if you're going to the beach and forget sunblock, and then you have to buy jacked up beach price sunblock instead of having your own.
Or if you're going to Walt Disney World and you're staying on property, or if you're going on a cruise, those prices where you're in a tourist trap and you forget things like your sunblock or whatever.
Ponchos.
Your ponchos, things like that. You want to make a list beforehand and be sure that you've got that stuff before you go. Also, it's nobody else's responsibility to pack for you. Your partner may be packing for themselves and your kids. If you're a grown person, I think you should be able to pack for yourself. That's just my opinion. I am saying that you should know what goes in your own bags. That's just my opinion on it.
I do.
I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying that there are some people out there who don't know what went in their own bag until they get to where they're going. And that is silly. If that is you, that's silly, and you should grow up. All
right. I got one for you. Red flag. This is the itinerary, and we must stick to it. There is no
deviation
from the plan.
Yeah. Okay. That is definitely a red flag. I would say a green flag would be... in not a German accent. So if we move this activity around to this other day, then we can make a schedule change work and we can still do everything that we wanted to do. And it's no biggie.
And I think that's something, again, going back to, you have to be flexible on these vacations because it could rain a day. If you're in Central Florida, it's going to have a pop-up thunderstorm. That's just Central Florida.
Absolutely.
If you're in the mountains, you need to be prepared that when the sun goes down, it's going to be cool, regardless of the time of year. So try to understand the environment you're going into, but understand that anything can happen unexpectedly.
You could have car trouble. There could be a flight delay. There could be, I mean, absolutely anything can happen, and you're not in your own home where you're in more control of your environment or whatever. So you just have to, there's more that you have to let go while you're on vacation.
Yep. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, red flag, could be, what's the budget? It's a vacation. YOLO. Or a red flag could be we could spend exactly this much on each of these line items.
I think that you can't be that strict and you can't be that loose. You got to find the happy middle of moderation, be in the middle of it. You can't just throw away everything and just spend like a drunken sailor. Because eventually the sailor sobers up and sees the bill, you know, you get home and you're like, holy cow, my credit card is maxed. Or, holy cow, why did I buy a 10-foot tall Mickey, you know? So
why didn't you buy a 10-foot tall Mickey?
But you just, you've got to look at it and you got to be smart. Now, you also don't want to make it where, no, you cannot splurge for 30 cents more whipped cream on that waffle or something, you know? So you have to have a budget, be flexible. Don't be nuts with the budget where you're just like, that's more of a suggestion. It's a guide. It's a guideline.
Yeah.
So, you have to do things in moderation, and there'll be some things that'll be worth splurging on. Like, sure. I know if we go down with our nieces, we're doing Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. All right. Sure. All three of them are going to be made up like little princesses. If they want to be made like princesses, I'll pay for that. But you also got to remember, you want to do things to make memories. And sometimes you got to spend a little money to make memories. And there's some things that the kids are like cats. They'll play with the box instead of the toy, you know? Mm-hmm. So just understand you don't want to be a penny pincher, but you don't want to be a big baller on a budget, you know?
So. Well, yeah. And I mean, I did my college internship at Walt Disney World, and I was a cashier briefly before transitioning into a backstage role. And one of my days working out in the park, was working at one of the pin stations and, you know, the pin trading and that kind of thing. And I had people who, you know, bought, you know, they'd come up and they would have like an exact number of pins that they were buying at that station. And it was like, okay, we're going to spend this much money on these pins, and that's all we're getting. And that's the only pins that we're going to get. And that's totally fine. I think that's a normal thing, because pins and other little collector's items are something that you can go nuts on. You can go overboard on, I'm sure. But then there would be people who, I remember there was this one guy who came up and he had to get to like his third credit card before he had a form of payment that was accepted.
Oof.
And it was like, ooh, like, I'm so sorry. Do you have another form of payment? Yeah. And it, like, he knew too, like, he's like, it wasn't a big deal to him that his credit cards were being declined. And it was like, I hope this is the end of his trip and not the beginning, because wow, you know,
it's true. And vacations, again, they should be fun. They shouldn't be stressful. You shouldn't be freaking out about every minute detail. You got to be flexible. You've got to have a budget, sit close to the budget, but you don't have to be directly.
You don't have to be beholden to it. I mean, you should be responsible, but you don't have to be slavishly beholden to it. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that is important to remember is, don't put all the work on just one partner, because again, there is work that goes into planning. There's work that goes into making a vacation happen, particularly if you're going like to a condo where you're going to be doing some of your own cooking. You're going to be doing some of your own cleaning up at the end of the vacation. Like if you've got a condo, a Vrbo, an Airbnb, whatever, and you know, you have to strip the beds, or you have to, you know, take out the trash or load the dishwasher, that kind of thing at the end of the vacation. You know, you're going to be maybe doing some laundry while you're on the vacation. Don't just dump that all on one partner. while you're gone. Sure, you know, it may not be fun to do that kind of thing while you're on vacation. It's not necessarily fun to do all that stuff while you're at home either. But if it's necessary, then, you know, if you divide it in half, then it's half as much work.
Exactly. All right. That has been our vacations topic for Empathy Ever After. Do you want to go ahead and set a topic for next week, or do you want to just play it by ear?
Let's play it by ear again.
Okay. We will play it by ear. If you want to follow us on social media, I'm at DavidSears75 on Twitter/X, DavidSears1982 on Instagram/Threads.
And I am LilaGale80 on Instagram and Threads, and Lila G Cat Mama on TikTok.
All right. If you do enjoy this podcast, please like and share. We're available on all major podcast indices under the Tony Curry Radio umbrella. You can also share this podcast with you and take it anywhere you go. Just find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of those. Just search for Empathy Ever After. So I'm David Sears. That's Lila Sears. We will see you next week. And as always,
be kind to yourself and to your partner.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.